In this case, you might even have people in your unit who, because they've been in the war a long time and they've had their friends and their buddies wounded and maybe been wounded themselves, they're just waiting to shoot somebody who's going to shoot at them. Well, it could just be that nobody shoots at you and you don't shoot back at anybody else. You get the completely benevolently, nobody got hurt on either side. That's the most benevolent outcome, because the most benevolent outcome has to be benevolent for everybody. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that this is going to change the world overnight, it is a request you make, but you still have to get in your truck and go on down the road and take this stuff from point A to point B. So you have to take action, but you still say this request. And maybe, just maybe, things are more benevolent than they would have been. Say you're at home and you're worried about your loved one who's in a war somewhere, fighting far away or even fighting not that far away. Then you say, I am asking that my loved one, say the name or say the unit, whatever, be completely safe in, and then you say the place where that person is, generally the country, for instance, or at least the continent, and come home to me, for instance, or you might even say, and come home, period. Maybe your loved one is not coming home to you, maybe he or she doesn't live with you. Maybe this is a loved one like your father, and you're already married, living with somebody else. Don't ask over and over again. So you can say a living prayer anytime you want. Generally, if you say a living prayer about a subject, I recommend that you wait at least a day before you say it about that same subject again. And try to use different words, if you can, that accomplish the same purpose. However, if you've stumbled over words and you don't think you've said it just right, you can say it again after you wait a few minutes. But if you're saying benevolent magic about something specific, maybe you need a new car or maybe you need a new job, just say that once unless you're going to change the words, the meaning, and the desire is different, then say it again, but change the words. Benevolent magic is not like a prayer, something you say over and over and over again for comforting reasons or for religious discipline, for instance. It is something you say once. Living prayer, however, can be said for you or for others many times. So if you have a loved one in the war, you can say it more than once. Try to change the form of what you say or what you ask. Don't ask it over and over and over again because your creator self, your soul, your portion of creator working with creator and all beings, they got it when you said it once. Your body, your soul and all parts of you, including your connection to creator, will be working on it immediately after you say it. But if something else comes up, maybe you're talking about a specific battle your loved one is in the case of the soldier, and then she is someplace else. Maybe she's even going on leave, but she can't come home. Then you might say a living prayer for her that she is completely safe and will have fun on her leave, something like that. After all, stories abound, you've heard about them, stories that kind of make you chuckle, oh, I went through the war completely. 4 years, you hear from soldiers, or 2 years or 1 year. I went through the whole war, came home, tripped over a bicycle and broke my foot. Of course, after your foot heals, this becomes a family joke. You all laugh about that. I'd say something like that, if your loved one is coming home, has been through that, I'm asking that my loved one on his trip home here be completely safe and have a benevolent experience to get here, like that. You can see that this applies to lots of different situations. But if you ever try and say something in some way that would hurt others, it just won't work. Magic is the natural element of life. Why don't I call it benevolent prayer? Because prayers are long established with religions and even philosophies. We need to call it magic because magic is the natural element of life. When you are a child and you see your first flower, and you see it closed up at night and then mom or dad or one of your brothers or sisters says, look, and it's opened up in the day, that's magical to you. You know when you are a little one that magic is natural and normal, and it's intended to be natural and normal in beauty, such as flowers opening up. Or such as yourself, As a child, when you feel like you want to get older, oh, if I can just get older, if I can just get to the fifth grade. Then eventually you say, if I can just to high school, then, if I can just get to work or get to college. Things do change, sometimes, apparently, magically. You know, if you say, if I can just have that first date, if I can just get that first dance, then sometimes out of the blue, there it is, and there's no logical explanation for it. Magic is normal and healthy. We need to define it as benevolent magic so you understand how the benevolent magic of Creator who created this universe and created Earth upon which you live, how that benevolent magic actually works by involving you as a kind of a Creator Junior to support bringing about benevolent creations for yourself. You have your Junior Creator badge on, but you won't expect people to treat you as a religious object. You are who you are, a portion of Creator, loved all the time by Creator, no matter what. After your life, sometimes you are surprised and shocked at things you did, and you might regret them. Creator is still pouring love on you because Creator knows you're trying to do the best you can. You tell Creator, I'll do better next time, and Creator says, okay, here's your chance. There is a connotation now about magic that it's supernatural, but we are attempting to bring an understanding that it is absolutely natural. Supernatural seems to be something beyond your grasp, and it is when it comes to creating universes and planets like Creator does. But this is something that, even though very often it works magically, it doesn't always work the way you want, but it works magically to bring about what you want. You know you've been a part of it, you've been involved in bringing it about, even though you don't exactly understand how it happened. So, it's a way of involving you in Creator's natural benevolent magic that Creator uses to open up universes lovingly for Creator's children. And it also involves cooperation, which is a step toward unity. This is not meant to replace your religion now. Some religious people might ask, is it okay to say, Jesus, I am asking, God, I am asking? Try it both ways. If you want to involve the name of your religious deity, try it. In my experience, it may not work as well, because when you say the name of your deity, you know how your religion works. Your religion works, say, in the case of Christianity, and in particular, in Catholicism, with your prayers, where your prayers go through the priest to beyond, to your deity. And this way your priest's job is to make sure that they are as pure and clear as possible so that when they go to the deity, they arrive in the best possible way. I'm greatly simplifying this, but that's essentially it. So if you say the name of the deity, your thoughts and feelings from a lifetime of training, or as long as you've been involved in that religion, will automatically click into limiting the scope of the benevolent my belief system. It will work better without invoking the name of your deity or beloved religious person. You can do your religion in your regular prayer all the time. Just ask for what you want in your regular prayer and then do this as well on the side. It is something that is not meant to be instead of prayer. So try it both ways, that's what I'd say, and then see the result. I'd recommend doing it without saying the name of the deity, but I want you to feel free to experiment and try it that way if you choose. If someone says that in his religious training, he is to say prayers for everybody else and he's not supposed to ask for anything for himself because he feels that that would be selfish, when people say that to you, say, I completely understand and sympathize with that philosophy. I want things that are good to happen to everyone else too. And that's why sometimes I use living prayer for that. And you can go into that if you want to at that moment or later, because you can also say this, you have to ask yourself, and I've asked myself, you might say, that Creator created me lovingly. Therefore, I must be worth creating. If this is so, then I can ask for things for me. Now, I know that some people would not feel comfortable with that. I'm not expecting that everyone will want to do this, but some people might wish to try, especially if they've got something pressing in their life or something urgent or just something that's been nagging at them for a long time or some other problem that they want to perhaps be able to get through. So if you feel selfish or guilty for saying this, I grant that you may feel that. The selfish, guilty feeling, if it's overwhelming, may restrict somewhat the welcoming of what you're asking for. You have to ask yourself, am I willing or open to allowing this to come to me? You may not know the answer to that. I am saying that Creator created you completely open and lovingly brought about your creation. Granted, Mom and Dad fell in love and they came together and you popped out eventually, but Creator had something to do with it because Creator created Mom and Dad and all the moms and dads before you. So if Creator did that, it wasn't an accident. You have to understand that benevolent magic and living prayer are going to be somewhat controversial, and they might stimulate thought, but one of my beliefs is that human beings are valuable, each and every one. Granted, some of them might seem to be more valuable than others at different times, and even parts of your life may seem to be more valuable than other parts at different times, but Creator created you lovingly and loves you, period. Therefore, I feel that asking for something for yourself is acceptable, especially when you have your other forms of prayer for your religion and living prayer to ask for things for others. This is not meant to replace your religion, only to support and sustain your life in some other ways. Some people like to call it a tool, something you can use. If you have a heavy wrench, you might try to pound in a nail, but if you use a hammer, it might work better. But in this case, the tool is something that incorporates the creatorship in all beings that has been freely given to you by Creator because Creator loves you. You wouldn't be here if Creator didn't love you. Sometimes the most benevolent outcome is not what you'd expect. Another question you might have concerns that example of you at home and your loved one overseas in battle. What if it is time for that soldier to die and that is the most benevolent outcome? Well, that will happen. You might be asking for his safety, but it might just be, in the case of some horrible war wound, that it is time for him to die, and you wouldn't want him to suffer and go on suffering. You'd want him to die as quickly and as painlessly as possible. Of course, you would never ask for that. You would ask for him to be safe and to come home to you. Well, this is not magic in the sense of distorting or forcing. There is no forcing, it's always and only benevolent. If the most benevolent result would be that the person would quickly and as painlessly as possible die, then that would be a comfort of sort perhaps. Perhaps your sons or your daughters or your cousins or your nephew's commanding officer will write to you and say, "He was a wonderful soldier, he served very well. I noticed that this person got along well in his unit and was well liked. And I remember him for this or that complimentary reason. This person was very brave and served the country very well. And just to let you know, the death was almost instantaneous. I don't think he felt a thing." Many people have received letters like this from commanding officers who wanted to make a personal touch and let you know that, according to eyewitnesses, there wasn't a lot of suffering. I'm not saying that this is always the case. I'm just saying that many of you have seen letters like this or heard about them. The idea here is that whatever does occur, we accept that that was the most benevolent outcome. That's the case, just like the other incidents or catastrophes or disasters that you hear about in the news all the time. When you think back on those situations, the best thing you would have hoped for is that the people died as quickly and as painlessly as possible, and that does happen sometimes in some disasters. It happens, it's all over so fast that they didn't suffer. They didn't even know it. They discovered they were dead after the fact when the angels came and embraced them and said, "It's time to move on." This happens. Other times, it's other ways. But either way, when you die and your body returns to the earth, your personality as you know yourself to be, go on. Your personality never dies. It goes on because when Creator creates a soul, Creator never uncreates that soul. So that soul goes on. This is why you can walk down the street sometime and you meet someone that you've never met, and before you know it, in a few minutes you just seem to be as close of friends as many people you've known for years. Maybe at some other time, in some other place, in some other creation that Creator had, you were good friends there. Life goes on. and the basic characteristics of your personality are perpetuated through the years, through the lifetimes and through incarnations. When Creator creates a soul, it goes on forever, regardless of what body you may be born in. Your body lives 60, 80 years, maybe more, maybe less in some cases. You die and you go on in some other form somewhere. Ask for the unexpected. Now, there is another thing. Tom Moore has been very involved in the creation of the wording structures that can be used by anyone and has been strongly advocating benevolent magic in the form of which he refers to it as most benevolent outcomes. He did not on his own create this, but through his own practice as a spiritual man, he has done a lot to popularize it so far. He has found that there is another thing you can say sometimes. You don't say it all the time, but you might at times when you're saying benevolent magic, especially if you're going to do something, like you're going to go to a meeting. Maybe you're going to go to a sales meeting, and you might say your benevolent magic for the most benevolent outcome for that. And then, almost as an afterthought, you might tag on, and I would like also that I even have unexpected good things that come about, that come as a pleasant surprise that exceeds my expectations, and any other way you want to say that. I want you to be, to feel a little spontaneous saying that. I would recommend that in the future you say, I'm open to the possibility that my desires, my expectations or my requests will be exceeded by the event. This is a great gift. It implies a maturity in and a movement into an expansion of your natural self to even be given this type of information. Create solutions by asking for the impossible. I think that it is important to say that the world has come to a place where you need more. You need to be able to create solutions to apparently unsolvable problems. Groups of people who have been battling for a long time are past the point of being able to forgive one another, so it seems. And yet you might ask for it in living prayer or benevolent magic, as well as in the other ways you ask and the other ways you strive to bring about resolution. It's possible to go beyond what seems to be possible to bring about resolution. In short, don't limit benevolent magic requests and your living prayer. Don't limit them to what appears to be possible. Feel perfectly free to ask for the impossible in your own thoughts, because the whole point of benevolent magic is that it will very often exceed anything you can actually think about as a resolution. It goes beyond thought, and that's the point of magic. When that child, that baby, goes out and toddles around and sees flowers and cats and dogs and trees, and she has that look of wonder on her face, you've seen it, many of you, you know that that child knows in her thoughts and feelings that this is magic. You all deserve such magic, and you deserve to participate in the creation of benevolent magic. That's why, in this book, we are cooperating to bring that to you, to offer it to you, to encourage you to use it and to suggest that you enjoy your experience with it as much as possible. 2. How do you say benevolent magic and living prayer in your day-to-day life? We want to give the readers a jump start, so to speak, so that they will get an idea of how this thing works. Once they have a dozen examples applied to different situations, then they can guess on the basis of those how their particular individual desires can be framed within the context of this material. Adapting benevolent magic and living prayer to different situations. Since in saying the benevolent magic, the words are so specific and it requires, say this, don't say that, we've gone over that a bit, that's pretty specific. But the living prayer is very simple. Then you might just say this, say you're in danger. Then just immediately say, I am asking for help in the most benevolent way for me now. But if you have a few moments, for those of you who are used to saying benevolent magic or have come to be used to it, you might be able to say, I request that I receive all the immediate help I can receive in the most benevolent way for me, and that this have the most benevolent outcome for me to bring about my safety and my comfort, like that. We can adapt it a bit, you see. In the case of saying benevolent magic, this might be something that you know is a discomforting situation. For instance, let's say that you're driving on the freeway or the highway, and there is somebody who's weaving around on the road. You slow down, but the person doesn't seem to know what he's doing, Perhaps he's inebriated or perhaps he is sick and he's not quite clear. In short, help has not arrived yet. Of course, if somebody's in the car, you call for help because someone might be sick and so on. But until that arrives, you say either your benevolent magic or your living prayer, and once you've said it for yourself and waited for a few minutes, if the situation persists, you can then say a living prayer for the person in the car. You might say, I am asking that this person or people in this car also receive all of the help they need right now from all those beings who can help them. Then perhaps the police or perhaps a friend will come along and get that person to pull over, make sure he is all right, maybe call for an ambulance or so and so, or maybe find out that it's somebody's 10-year-old brother who thought he was big enough to drive the car or something like that. People sometimes see cars going down the road on their own, and they don't see the little head peeking out who thought perhaps that it was just fine to drive the car because he could drive the tractor just fine, but this was not the same thing. You hear about stories like that. There are other circumstances you can imagine, sometimes much more dangerous. The benevolent magic in this book is intended to give you something to start with. There will be future books of this nature that are easy to carry around, that are portable. There will be other things we will talk about in the future that will also give you methods to be safe and give you other trainings. And someday we may even compile this into a larger book and add more material for those of you who wish to go into this in a deeper study fashion. But for right now, we feel so strongly about this that we want to get this out to you as soon as possible, since we know that many of you are not feeling safe in your physical world right now, whatever place you're living in. You would like to feel safer, you would like to have good things happen. You'd like to create a safe, benevolent environment, not only for yourself and your family and your friends, but also for the world, so that everybody can learn how to get along together and enjoy the variety of different peoples without getting stuck on the discomfort about something new. Ask to remember to do benevolent magic. For most of you, when you get up in the morning, one of your first stops is the bathroom. And very often, you may look in the mirror. Sometimes you smile, sometimes you frown. But I'd like you to have something on the mirror in very bright can't miss it letters. You don't have to write right on the mirror, but you can put a little sign there, like red crayon on light colored paper. And I'd like it to say, remember, benevolent magic and living prayer are for you, period. Some of you have children who might want to do this. Ask the kids to write it, because when you see your youngsters writing, it's going to make you smile, you know it is. Because anything they write or draw always makes you smile lovingly when you look at it. But if you want to do it on your own, go ahead. Now, you might reasonably ask, why are you saying to do it in crayon? It doesn't have to be in crayon, but the reason I recommend crayon is that it's likely to draw your attention because most of you do not use crayons anymore. For those of you who have children, crayons will be around. And for those of you who don't, you can easily get crayons. It's kind of fun. This will be childlike, and it's much more likely to draw your attention if it's something that is out of the ordinary in the way of signs that you might post for yourself. You know, you might put up, remember Charlie's birthday, or you might put up, don't forget about that underscore, whatever important thing. You'll write that. But some sign in red crayon is probably not the sort of thing that you normally make. Ask for anything, no limitations now. I would like to say that the reason this book exists is to let you know that benevolent magic exists and to give you some suggestions to start with. When you start using it, you may not say it very much because you can't imagine what might be possible to say. So we're going to give you some suggestions for various situations that might come up in your life to give you, how can we say, kind of like some trial runs. And after a while, you'll be able to say it for the simplest things and even the more complex things, such as an unhealthy situation. Ask for personal safety. But you don't say an unhealthy situation because that would be very vague and would be not understood clearly by all beings. Rather, you would say, for instance, we'll bring up something dramatic, in a situation where, say, A woman is being mistreated by her husband for whatever reason, maybe he drinks, who knows. She might say, I request that my personal safety be guaranteed for me now in the most benevolent way for me now, and that this have the most benevolent outcome for me. Suppose she has children in the same situation. Then she might say, I request that the personal safety for me and my children, say their names, first names are sufficient, be completely guaranteed in the most benevolent way for me. You're saying something for somebody else, but as a mother, if these are children you're overseeing, and I'm talking about little kids, okay? Little kids, by definition, means under 15, because if they are 16, 17, 18, they can probably take care of themselves. If you want to, though, you can include the 18-year-old and down. Then say the rest of the words as they were said. If you do that, I would recommend that you do a follow-up. Wait a few minutes, and do a follow-up living prayer. If you wait longer than a few minutes, that's all right. Do a follow-up, since you are saying something for somebody else. And you can say, I am asking that the personal safety of myself and my children, Dottie, Mary, Joe, whatever their names are, be guaranteed immediately and indefinitely now in a way that is benevolent for us all, period, something like that. You can see that I'll sometimes add variations, and the reason I'm doing this is that I want you to consider adapting this to your own system while staying within the format. Ask for money and abundance. Just say, I am asking that my personal income increase in an increasing way and in the most benevolent way for me now, and that this result in the most benevolent outcome. Then pause for a little while, perhaps for 30 seconds. Then say, for me. The reason we pause in that case is that your personal income is probably going to be distributed to various people, and we want that to have the most benevolent outcome for all beings. So you pause to allow that to get settled energetically for all beings, and then you make it clear by saying for me because you're asking. It's about your personal income. You want more personal income for yourself. But the pause allows that energy to spread around and that request to spread around because other people will very often be benevolently served by your personal income as you distribute it. Now, if you want to say it in the form of a living prayer, you might say it. You can say those anytime you want, according to my suggestions, perhaps once a day about the subject. If you say it more often, then try to say it differently every time, not just changing one word, but changing the meaning. It's most important when you say benevolent magic and living prayer to have feeling about it, to want it, to need it, meaning that it's okay to have feeling. It's not something you say, like words. This is not parking between 4 and 6 p.m. acceptable. It's not words you just say. It's good to have feeling, their want, the desire, the need. If they're there, try to welcome your feelings, and then say the benevolent magic or living prayer. So you might say, in this case of increased income, I am asking that my income continue to increase and that it become predictable and reliable so I'll know that I'm going to get what I need and more to cover all my expenses so that I can feel safe, comfortable and happy, something like that. You're saying what you want to feel. You want to feel safe. You want to feel comfortable. And of course, you want to feel happy. Don't let people tell you, as it happens and people talk, that there's only so much to go around when it comes to wealth and money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. You can all do it. It's all acceptable. I assure you, Creator would not have allowed wealthiness if Creator did not feel that wealthiness wasn't good. It's not something bad, so feel free to ask. For instance, you might say, I am asking for my personal income and my personal resources to increase and develop in such a way as I feel wealthy, and that this occur benevolently for me so that I may be happy and comfortable. Say something like that, but don't say that I may be happy and comfortable to justify it. Rather, you indicate that those feelings would be ones you might feel. And if you feel, say, warmth, and we discussed warmth before in these pages of these various books, or if you happen to feel comfortable or feel happy after saying that, Just let that feeling be there. Don't suppress it. That's part of the creation process. Creator wants you to be comfortable and happy. Just know that that's possible. Don't let anybody tell you it isn't possible for you. If someone tells you that, then you say, well, that's fine if you want to believe that. I believe otherwise,